The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
I was about to get out my soapbox. I was hearing some accusations there. I had to fish it out from under the under the desk.
All right, we'll put it straight back. So we were talking about, in fact, I think Times of Israel reporting it, but it is across various websites. Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm, he hosted Saturday Night Live on Saturday night. His opening monologue, he spoke about the fact that he questioned why so many of these sexual predators, Harvey Weinstein et al., are Jewish. He does identify Larry David as being a Jew, but I still found it completely offensive. He then went on to say that he's always found women very attractive, and he was wondering how he would have picked up women in a concentration camp if he was born in Poland. It was bizarre, unacceptable, not funny, and just incredibly stupid, I thought.
Nothing about that monologue is okay to me.
No, I agree.
I find it offensive as a Jewish woman who's a feminist. I find it, you know, nobody's going to sit and pick out anybody who transgresses the law and identify them according to their religion. That is appalling. I think to belittle the suffering of Holocaust survivors and victims as he has is beyond reprehensible. I think there should be global outcry over this. To me, it also smacks off, I'm Jewish, how can I be anti-Zionist?
Yep, well,
of argument. Everything about that is wrong and offensive.
I mean, imagine standing
on so
up.
Many levels.
Imagine standing up and saying, "Why are so many, whatever they are, black or Muslim or Christian, or it's completely black or white? It's an absurdity. It is just plain and simply offensive." But let's just go and move on to some of the stories. This Texas shooting is just absolutely horrendous. What do we know?
Well, first of all, I think more time and effort should be spent on these kind of issues and less with the appalling and inappropriate comments like we've heard from Larry David on American television. There is clearly a crisis in America, and our hearts, our thoughts and our prayers go to all who were victims at the shooting at the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs in Texas yesterday, which would have been a Sunday. Is there no place on earth that is holy, that is sacrosanct?
There really are no words for anybody that goes into any place of worship, no matter what that place of worship is, and just mows people down. But is there any form of reasoning that they have for this bloke having done so?
Well, what they do know, and they're referring to him as a mass shooter, is that he has killed nearly 20, well, at least 26 people, including 8 members of one family, and several of the victims are children. He has been identified. He is a former Bible study teacher who was dishonorably discharged from the U.S. Air Force for assaulting his wife and child. His name is Devin Patrick Kelly. We know that he walked into the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs dressed in black. He wore tactical gear. He wore a ballistics belt. He had an assault rifle. He began shooting, and the attack only stopped when a local hero managed to shoot him between the gap in his body armor as he tried to leave the church. He apparently fled in his car. He lost control of his vehicle and was found dead inside. And this is just too heartbreaking. Victims include a 2-year-old girl and the 14-year-old adopted daughter of the pastor of the church. Other members or other victims include 8 members of one family, an 8-month pregnant mother, and 3 of her children.
Absolutely,
this is a tragedy on a tremendous scale.
Absolutely right. Can we just talk about Lebanon's Prime Minister Hariri? He suddenly resigned. What is going on with this?
Well, this is, of course, very, very interesting to us, very concerning for us, and also a horrible sense of deja vu. His late father also resigned and was assassinated, Rafiq Hariri. Many of you may remember he was assassinated in 2005. And also what's a horrible sense of deja vu is he also started to express very similar sentiments before he was assassinated, blaming Hezbollah, blaming Iran, blaming this radicalism that was taking place, blaming the stronghold that Hezbollah and the influence that Iran had on Lebanon. We've seen tensions between Lebanon and Israel rising lately, and we know that Hezbollah is just a proxy of Iran, and their intentions are to destroy the state of Israel. And Saad Hariri resigned on Saturday. I tell you how this weekend was a weekend of news of note. And this is less than a year after taking office. And when he took office, it plunged Lebanon into a lot of chaos, a lot of tension in the region. And he has said quite outright, he says, we are living in a climate which is very, very similar to the atmosphere that prevailed before the assassination of the martyr Rafiq Hariri, which was his father. And he says, and I'm aware of what is being plotted to target my life. And he said, it's this is definitely Iran's arms in the region. And, he accused Iran of meddling in Arab affairs. He said that this involves Hezbollah as well. I think that if something should happen to him, he has very, very clearly stated who the world can blame, who they can hold accountable. And he goes on to say, he says, Iran has a grip on the fate of the region's countries. Hezbollah is Iran's arm, not just in Lebanon, but in other Arab countries too. So he's warning other countries in the region that there may be cells there, that Hezbollah is active in those areas. And he says that in recent years, Hezbollah has used the power of its weapons to impose a fait accompli. And we've seen this in Syria. We've seen the transportation of Hezbollah-bound weapons coming through Syria, which of course has prompted Israel to respond and destroy these weapons, munitions, whether they be factories or trucks or convoys that are bound for the Shiite terror group Hezbollah. Incidentally, Hezbollah is not viewed as a terror group by some countries around the world. They're seen more as a guerrilla group. And
a guerrilla group, not a terrorist group.
Yeah. Some countries don't regard them as a terror group. They say they're more of a military group, a guerrilla type group.
All right. That's it's obviously too complicated for me, because that does confuse me. What is interesting about this is that more and more we seem to be having comments from other Arab countries around Israel, not just Israel, about the concerns that Iran is meddling, getting more and more involved, and reaching its tentacles into their countries. It does. There used to be a time when there was a lot more reticence with regard to many countries talking out against maybe fellow Arab countries. Now it seems to be quite okay and acceptable to criticize Iran on a global stage. Is my observation correct? In your view?
I think your observation is extremely correct. In fact, I would go so far as to say that the battle lines are being drawn. And you can almost see alliances being formed between those who are pro-Iran and supported by Iran and those who are really girding up to face any kind of onslaught. We've seen temperatures towards Israel warming up within the region. We've seen the influence that Iran has in Qatar being blown wide open. We also see it with some of the media here. We see, if you follow the Arab media, there is definitely kind of, you know, like you would see in the United States, you have a CNN versus Fox. Here in the Middle East, you see the Qatari-based Al Jazeera versus the Saudi-based Al Arabiya. So there is very much the battle lines being drawn on multi-levels, be it the media, be it politically, and some of it is working towards Israel's favor, as we are seeing overtures from countries in the Arab region that we perhaps had not seen it from before.
Absolutely, absolutely fascinating. Israel is holding bodies of five terrorists found in the tunnel. One of our listeners asking, how far into Israel's territory were these tunnels extended?
Well, we don't know like exact meters and kilometers. All we know, and I think this is also probably under perhaps under military or police censorship, because this kind of information is sensitive. What we do know is that the tunnels reached in to Israeli territory and did make communities very, very vulnerable to what could have come out of these tunnels. We also know the intentions of these tunnels was to kidnap soldiers and hold them for ransom. But what we have seen, which is a change of tactic from the Israeli government, is that Israel is in possession of the remains of some of these terrorists who were killed in the tunnels and are going to use them as bargaining chips so that we can get our civilians who are being held by Hamas and other and other like groups in Gaza, as well as the remains of our two soldiers, Oron Shaul and Hadar Golden. We would like them back. And now the government is saying we're going to take a much more hard line against the Hamas-run Gaza Strip, and we're also going to employ the same tactic, withholding the remains.
Does Israel have a firm policy with regard to bodies of terrorists? It seems to differ from incident to incident. Is this correct?
I would have to agree with you on that, Howard, because we have seen in the past, you know, Israel's policy has not been to never negotiate with terrorists. Mm. But we saw in recent times the great stakes that are involved in freeing a civilian. We saw with Gilad Shalit where we had to free a thousand terrorists who were in custody. And unfortunately, this has been a tactic that has worked well for Hamas and other terror groups. They know that Israel, our policy is to not leave a person behind, that we will do whatever we can in our power to bring whether it's soldiers or civilians safely back home. We had to make the same concessions with the bodies of Ehud Goldwasser and Eldad Regev. You know, may they all rest in peace. Very, very, very painful concessions. But now we have something in our favor. And if they want the remains of their terrorists back, there's going to be a price on their heads as well.
Free Jerusalem, counter-protest to be held against the ultra-Orthodox. That's happening on November the 17th. What is going on now?
Had to happen, Howard. It had to happen. Well, anybody who's listened to the Israel report over the last couple of weeks has heard our frustration with we'll call them Kitzoni or ultra-militant Orthodox who are refusing the call-up. They are refusing to go to the army. They're refusing to serve. They declared a day of rage a couple of weeks ago, disturbed the traffic. Things got violent. And it is the ultra-Orthodox group. It's a faction within the ultra-Orthodox. It's called the Jerusalem Faction Group. It's a group that follows Rabbi Shmuel Auerbach. They've been responsible for blocking traffic. They've actually been violent against drivers of cars, including women. And on October the 19th, they declared a day of rage and caused Balagan Gadol, all over the country.
Right.
So a group which is called Free Jerusalem have decided enough is enough. And they have called on a secular day of rage. They've called on anybody who considers himself pluralist or from any sect in Israeli society that voice their objection to these Jerusalem faction and their protest to join on the 17th of November on air in a secular day of rage. They say enough is enough because these protesters have managed to shut down major intersections in Jerusalem and in B'nai Brak, in Beit Shemesh, in Sfat, right here near where I live, Modi, in Elit. They sit in the streets chanting, we'd rather go to jail than the army. They sing a song from the Haggadah about, in every generation they rise up to destroy us, but or destroy the Jewish people, but God saved it. And it literally sounds like, the language that they use is so aggressive and so extreme that, one would be forgiven for thinking that we're trying to kill them. So people have had enough, and people feel that we pay taxes, we work very hard, we go to the army or send our children to the army, and it is enough. So
now there's
the
counter.
The demands are very, very simple.
I was just going to say, but is the counter also a day of rage? Can't we just drop that rage word? Can't we protest without rage? It just seems unnecessary to me.
I'm liking your idea. I'm liking a peaceful process and what the organizers of
Free
Jerusalem are saying.
It sounds so unnecessary.
It does sound unnecessary, but I think what they are saying is, we're going to meet you measure for measure.
Right. We'll rage your rage. We'll meet your rage and rage you one.
We'll meet your rage and we'll face you square on. And they're saying that all they want, and this is Free Jerusalem, is an equal enforcement of the law. And they want the intervention of the state to go back to the tenets of what our Declaration of Independence tells us, which is equal rights and putting an end to us surrendering to the extremists. And it's just so ironic for many because that comment follows our discussion about do we negotiate with terrorists. And for many in Israeli society, giving in to the Jerusalem faction and the ultra Orthodox is almost – okay, listen to me hard, people. I'm saying it's almost seen as the same thing, and not insofar as calling them terrorists, but capitulating to a minority group who wields so much power that to not listen to them or to not give in to them causes unbelievable chaos.
So we're going to keep a very close eye on that one. Ansan saying, do the Hasids toy toy or do they oi oi?
I wish they would oi oi.
Well, that's one question. Pazulu talking about getting involved in that discussion that we were having about Larry David says, I agree, religion has nothing to do with transgressing the law. As Raline said, terror, sex abuse are criminal acts, nothing to do with religion. That's from Pazulu. And Unsigned saying, apparently the Texas shooter is an atheist. But I just think he's a murderer. I think it's absolutely, in my view, completely irrelevant what he is. He is a murderer. Young people, older people, and many across all forms of age died in that. I don't think there is. It's just absolutely horrific. And
in a place of worship,
indeed. That's the that is the Israel Report. That was Raline Marks. Raline, we'll chat to you tomorrow. That was brought to you by the Blue Agency. The Blue Agency Israel is offering an exciting new opportunity for those who are interested in buying an investment apartment in Israel.